Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.
Well, it's time again for another episode of the Podcast of Steel. And those that are paying attention will notice that this guest has already been interviewed by myself. And it is Austin, the Ghostbuster super fan, the owner and builder of an XO1. You will be coming along to Portsmouth Comic Con on the 11th and 12th of May. And we've talked about that, which is very exciting. And we will talk about some more exciting things today. Now, as I said, you've already been on the Portsmouth Comic Con podcast. Now you're on this one. So rather than do a regular origin story like you did before, we know Ghostbusters is, a couple of the Ghostbusters films are set in New York City. I want a New York minute. And I've got a countdown on my iPad here. And I want you to hit me with your origin story, but you've only got 1 minute to go. So you've got to tell all the wonderful listeners and watchers your pretty much life story, all about the XO1, all about you, in 1 minute. Are you ready for that?
No, but okay,
Guess what?
Let's do it.
I'm hitting start. Go!
Okay, so I watched it when I was very, very young, absolutely hooked on it, bought all of the toys, all of the games, all of the merchandise, literally anything that had Ghostbusters stamped on it, I bought, and I have been buying since the age of my age now. It's been a constant through my life, and my Ghostbusters love and stuff that I bought has just got bigger and bigger and bigger until I bought a 1963 Cadillac, and that's kind of the biggest thing I've bought until I buy something like a firehouse. Currently renovating that. Most people think I'm absolutely nuts doing it because it's an absolute pain in the backside sometimes, but I absolutely freaking love it. It's the best thing in the world. Have any time left?
20 seconds. Go.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's about it, really. I almost did too well then.
You did really well. That was it. Well, let's stop that. But that was enough to certainly get me interested and intrigued. I've spoken to you so many times.
I have no concept of time. It's all gone.
But to squeeze it all into a minute you did well. But yes, you are one of those wonderful people that we do call super fans. People that are so passionate about something that brings us joy, that it has become part of our lives, whether it be talking about it on podcasts or going to events or just sharing your love for anything with other people.
Yeah.
This IP.
It's woven into the very fabric of your being, isn't it?
That's what it is. When you see or have friends or family sort of watching Ghostbusters or Superman or anything that brings us joy and they say, I saw this and thought of you. You think, that's that connection between the thing that I love and the people in my life that I love. They know the things that bring me joy. And yes, you've made this a part of your life, a big part of your life.
It's pretty huge. Yeah. It's one of those things. And I mean, it's like you. And I'd be really interested to know about your origin about Superman. Because that was one thing we didn't talk about last time. We talked a lot about Ghostbusters. I'd like to pick you on that, if that's all right.
How
did you get into Superman?
It came on to me pretty much late in life. I've shared this on the show a few times. Woke up one Sunday morning and I was watching Channel 4. And the pilot episode of Smallville was playing. Yep. And I was like, okay, I know about Superman. You can't not know about Superman. It's like Coca-Cola. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I recognize these characters. I recognize this story. Let's see where this goes. Really enjoyed the show. Grew up with that show. And in between seasons, these lucky kids these days can get seasons at their fingertips ready to go. But when season one finished, I didn't know if we were going to get it in the UK. We didn't know if we would continue to see this show. So I began reading Superman comics to fill in the gap that Smallville left in my life. And I found friends that liked Superman and said, look, I want to get into this fandom. Tell me where to start. And pretty much then this world of Superman fell into my lap. So I'm still finding out more about this hero that sort of found me. And yeah, I enjoyed the mythos. I enjoyed the characters of both Clark Kent and Superman. Yeah. And as you know, as you said, you just start collecting things and you start getting Superman gifts and Ghostbusters gifts for birthdays presents. And then you want to start finding the more difficult things, the more unique things that are on that bucket list. And over the years, it has led me to this, to speaking with more passionate people around the world, whether it be Superman, Ghostbusters, recreating movies, cars from the movies. You never know where passions can lead.
It's so interesting hear you sort of like talk about that, because, you know, you as a fan, you know, you grow up and you go down this road and you don't particularly become obsessed, but it just becomes a massive part of your life.
It does.
It doesn't it? And it's so nice to hear, like, you know, you talking about Superman, and I can so relate to all of those things. And it's almost like you as a person, like I said, become synonymous with that, almost like IP, don't you? And that's it. It's really nice to hear from someone else with a different sort of fandom, as it were. But just the lines are so parallel.
It's the same thing, whether it be like sports or football or racing cars or just something that somehow falls into your life, whether it could be just anything that brings you joy. That's not necessarily work-related or something that you feel you have to do. It's something that you find along the way, as it were. Yeah. And as you said, and when people start associating you with that thing or that person or that song, it's nice to think, oh, I'll always think of you when I see Superman or hear the Ghostbusters theme tune, and they link together. And that's why, this is why this podcast, the podcast of Still, is something that I've enjoyed doing, whether it's speaking with people that are passionate about stamp collecting, whether it be about music, cooking, collecting toys. It's that I've always said it. It's a light turns on inside somebody when they start talking about the things that bring them just natural joy, and so, that passion comes out with them, and they will start sharing stories about why those things mean so much and why it is a special part of your life. And that is why you are back on this show talking about Ghostbusters and everything.
It's very kind of you to have me back. Thank you, Luke.
Well, there were more stories. We did have a fantastic chat for the Portsmouth Comic Con podcast, which will be attending with Ecto-1. I mean, it's amazing that you're coming along, but the fact that you are bringing this amazing car that you have created, you have brought to life. And when we were speaking last time on that podcast, there were a few things that we couldn't talk about, and it was just killing me. Absolute. Yes. I was biting my lip at every chance I could to find out more, but you were tight-lipped, sir. You were tight-lipped.
I was. And it was absolutely killing me. And it's been killing me for the last year. Mm. And it was one of those things that when you said, you know, you almost gave us the pre questions. And you said, is there anything that we can't talk about and things like that? And it was like, well, the only thing I can't talk about much is the new movie. And you were like, as any good journalist would, why is that then, Austin? I was like, wow, I just can't. And I'm terrible. I'm literally terrible. And it's like you said, you know, anytime you speak to somebody with that fandom, that light goes on, because it was like, all I wanted to do was go, well, it's because da da da. And I couldn't. And I just felt, well, I just, you know, I can't really talk much about the new film at the moment. You can ask me what I think about it and if I'm excited to go and see it at the movies, but that's about it.
Yeah. But now we can. We can talk about it, and please share your exciting news.
So, where do I start? About a year, just over a year ago, I was having a chat with one of my buddies because they started filming some of the new film over here.
Yes.
And we were kind of like talking about it. We were going, oh, you know, wouldn't it be great to go and, you know, just hang out and see if we can see any of the stars and like be around the set and things like that. And he said, yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it? I said, you know, who do we need to send an email to, or, you know, who do we need to contact about it? And I was like, I don't know, where do you start with this? And then, cause you know, I think I mentioned to you, I'm a teacher.
Yes.
I was at school And we were having like a bit of a story time or something like that. And I was reading a story to another class. And the class are all going out. We finished the story. And one of the kids says, "Oh, Mr. Brown, you like Ghostbusters, don't you?" And I went, Yeah, that's yeah, I do. Yeah, off you go." And he said, "Oh, yeah, my dad works on the he's working on the new film." And I went, "I beg your pardon.
Come back.
Can I have a word? Is that all right? Do you mind?" And anyway, long story short, nothing came of that. Nothing came of that at all. Because it's a bit difficult as like a teacher to just then go to a random parent, "Oh, hi, you work on the new Ghostbusters film. Can you get me in?" So is it all a bit, so I couldn't push that, and I didn't feel, right
Well,
pushing that.
that's the professional part of you, which is good. That's your integrity. You're
This
like, I can't really give this kid good grades in the hope that I'm going to get on the Ghostbusters set.
is it. It was exactly that. And I was like, "Oh, right, okay." So I kind of went back to my buddy and said, "You'll never guess this. There's a kid at my school whose dad's working on a new film." And he said, "Oh, can you get us in?" And I went, "No, I don't feel comfortable doing that."
Good.
So I shot some emails to just random, not random people, but people who I've met through my life who've had stuff to do with the film and, TV industry, to say, "Look, do you know anyone who could get us in, or, just to hang out?" And everyone came back and went, "No, it's a pretty closed set. No, we can't. I don't know anyone." And I was kind of like, "Okay, all right, no problem." So I ended up just saying to my mate, "Well, look, should we just shoot like the directors a message? And I don't know, just
Just
shoot it
shoot, do it, yeah.
on Instagram." So we did that, and the executive producer, who basically the head of Ghost Corps, Eric Wright, sent us a mail back going, "Yeah, no problem." And
Easy as that. Easy as that.
easy as that, easy as that. He said, "Here's the email for the guy in the costume department you need to speak to. Send him a message, say you've spoken to me, and yeah, we'll get you on the set." So I just kind of went, "Well, that was easy." And we sent them an email, and then it all started getting very surreal.
I bet.
Because then it was like, yep, they were like, "Yeah, okay, no problem. Can you come up for a costume fitting?" And we're like, "Yeah, that's fine." So we went up for costume fitting, and it must have been about, as I say, I seem to remember it was about a year ago, early April time. So we went up to Wynnersh Studios and went in, parked, went into the reception. And it's bizarre. Wynnersh Studios is like an industrial estate. It's like any weird industrial estate you've ever got lost in trying to look for some, shop that sells some random thing that you're looking to get. And it's like this. So I went to this reception, and they went, "Oh yeah, you just need to head out and just go around the corner and just go speak to reception." So I just went into this large hangar and just opened the door, and there's a guy sat on a table. I said, "Oh, I'm here for my costume fitting." And he went, "Oh yeah, no worries. Come on through." So I just walked past rows and rows and rows of costumes, and I'm just there with my mouth open because there's jumpsuits. There's like the classic jumpsuits, and I'm going like that. And then I start seeing like these black jumpsuits with the engineering badge on, the cog on, and I'm going, "What's that?" And they're going, "Oh, don't worry about that. That's okay." And
Yeah,
then
don't worry about that.
I'm like, "Why is there so many like old clothes here from like the turn of the century? What are they all about? Don't worry about it. So what's that?" And I'm just terrible. Anyway, I sit down and I have my costume fitting, and again, I'm just there like this.
Yeah, just enjoying that moment. That's what I love
Just
about that. It's the fact
having a
that you're along for
bonkers
the
time.
ride.
Yeah. So I have a costume fitting and go home. And that's it done. And we kind of go, "All right, fine." And they said, "Okay, well, we'll let you know when the filming's going to be, and we'll get you up for that. But this costume's gonna be great. Okay, fine. So he had to sign all the NDAs and all of that back then. And then, you know, we get an email and they said, okay, cool. So your scene is gonna be outside the New York Public Library, and it's gonna be shot. There's gonna be, you know, like a couple of days filming. So we're like, oh, cool, all right, nice. So me and my buddy Chris, we're chatting about this because, you know, he's him and I are doing the same thing. And we said, oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, New York Public Library, great, lovely job. Didn't know what to expect. And then I think it was like a week or 2 weeks before we were due to go up and shoot. Chris says to me, oh, they've changed it. We're not doing the New York Public Library anymore. And I went, oh, right. What are we doing? He said, we're doing the end scene. And I went, right. He said, yeah, we're doing the end scene. I was like, okay. I said, I'm guessing then if it's the end, there's going to be, you know, a fair few people, you know, there, you know.
Like Ghostbusters tradition sort of thing. That's exactly. There's always a nice big celebrating scene at the end with everybody there.
This is it. So we're kind of then, our brains are just going overtime. I cannot sleep. I cannot eat. I cannot think. I can't teach. I mean, God, literally, I was just a mess. So we go up and they go, yep, you're going to be doing, you know, the end scene. And it was just from that moment on, I thought I was living in a surreal daydream. But there is nothing that hits you, absolutely blindsides you, when you just stood around this set with, you know, like the firehouse, you know, that's been built there. And Bill Murray walks out in a Ghostbusters jumpsuit. And you're just there going to yourself, you know, thinking in your brain,
Bill Murray.
That's Bill Murray. He's wearing a Ghostbusters jumpsuit. This is amazing. And it was just insane.
I just love the fact that this... It's happened for you, for one, and the fact that it's just it's something that is just so important to you. And yes, we can all have a connection to something, and it's special to us. Something as simple as owning a rare VHS or a rare DVD or toy that could extend to, say, going to a Comic-Con and queuing up and meeting and thanking that person that has given you so much joy over the years. Yeah. But then there are people like you and I that, yes, that's a fantastic moment. But for me, we're not wanting to say chase that high. We're wanting to push the strength of our passion for this certain thing by doing new things, whether that be emailing a company or, you know, starting from the bottom and literally working your way up, trying to find out how you can build a bridge into this world that has brought you so much joy over the years. It's like following your favorite band and sort of knowing the roadies, knowing where these people are going to be performing next, what your celebrity's favorite sandwich is, sort of thing.
What a great analogy. That's absolutely bang on.
But it's how we enjoy and grow as fans, as it were. And it is easy for those that don't necessarily understand how strong a passion can get by calling us obsessive. And I can understand that. I have obsessed over stories and comics in the past, but it is a lazy way to describe passionate people, I feel. And if it brings you joy, and it's not harming anybody else, and you're getting happiness out of it, then go for it. So do those things. Email those companies. Email those event companies and say, look, how can I not only be a bigger part of this world, but how can I help you promote it in a way? Because in a way, by you doing this and talking about it with friends and followers, it's promoting the movie. It's promoting the fandom.
Absolutely.
And I've had people ask in the past, how do you – work with DC Comics? How do you work with Warner Brothers? And say, well, you just email. You're going to get lots more no's than you are yeses, but get better at asking politely and professionally. Yep. I think many years ago, I even recorded a podcast episode about putting the work in and what you need to do. And you are a perfect example of that. You just emailed people, but then you was like, well, I might as well just, I'll try and politely direct message the people that are working on the film. And it worked for you.
Yeah.
How did it feel when you got that reply from it?
Oh, mate, it was, I'm not actually in New York. I'm in my kitchen.
But it's very good effects. Well. I thought it was a very quiet day in New York if you were outside the ladders.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to ruin the illusion. But I was in my kitchen where I am now. And I just remember, you know, walking into the kitchen with my phone, and I had my phone, and I was just scrolling through my messages. And this message came up from Eric. And I just went, because my wife was here at the time, and I just said, I just had a message from, like, the executive producer of Ghostbusters, the head of Ghost Corps. Tara's like,
okay.
Have you? Or is this like,
is it, is
you
it, you being spammed? Is this, you know,
exactly.
Are you being clickbaited? What's going on?
please send me $2,000, you know, dollars.
Yeah,
you
we've all had those
be in
before.
The new film.
Yeah.
you know, and no, I went, yeah. And my wife Tara, she's like, right, okay, well, what does it say? And I kind of, you know, explained to her. And she said, well, that's really crazy. And she said to me, you know, did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams that you would be in a Ghostbusters film? And I said, no, never in a month of Sundays, because why would I? You know, how can I put it? Ghostbusters is synonymous with New York and certainly America, you know? And this is where the story's always been. And we knew that this latest film was going to be predominantly in New York. And, you know, that's what it is. And it just so happened that because of the writer's strike, they moved a lot of it over here, and they got some real big kind of tax breaks doing it in Winnersh. And it was one of those things that, you know, some people, you know, there's that adage, you know, the moon, the stars and the sun aligned. Well, it is the perfect analogy for this, because it just so happened, even to the point that when we were filming, it fell in a half term. It was the May half term. So I didn't even have to get any time off school or anything like that, you know. Everything
was right.
Was right.
Meant to be, as they say. And yes, you can be sort of a cynical and say, well, that's just, it's very lucky then. Well, then fine. It's lucky. It's luck combined with synchronicity. It's luck with being in the right place at the right time. It's luck when people say, oh, you're so lucky. But also, you don't see the hard work and the turmoil and the grit and passion that goes into something like that. So again, the stars and everything else did align, but you were there at the core of it, this passion, this drive to want to be a part of this film, because you're such a fan of the franchise, not just like, oh, I want to be on screen for a bit so I can say, oh, look, hi, Mum, I'm on the big screen. It's not that. Yeah. This was about you and wanting to have, you know, you're literally, yes, people now can say, oh, yeah, he likes Ghostbusters a bit. No, I'm in Ghostbusters. No, I'm in it.
What was really cool was, so there was me and my buddy Chris, and we went up and we met. There was basically seven of us that were given this opportunity. So it was me, my buddy Chris, and then there was a few people from the Southend-on-Sea Ghostbusters who were going to be at Portsmouth Comic Con.
They are.
I'm looking
forward to bumping into them. That's going to be some fun photo shoots that day.
We just hit it off because they are such a nice bunch of guys, and I have so much time for them. Love them. And then the last one was another guy called Simon, who's from Chorley, who's going to come down to Portsmouth Comic Con as well.
Massive meetup. Fantastic. This is going to be wonderful.
So it's going to be the first con with all of us extras together.
Taken over the joint. I love this.
Yeah, love it, love it. And one of the Southend on Sea guys, Alan, he got us all these T-shirts made up. And I posted it up on Instagram, I don't know, a couple of weeks back. And he got them posted on the front. It says Canon.
It is. No, you are.
And it is.
You
and
are
it's
Canon.
Just, this is it. And it's a bizarre thing. But, you know, you can watch, you know, I'm now part of that universe.
You are. I love that.
Which is just so crazy. That is so hard. Cannot tell you how hard that is to wrap my head around. You know.
Well, it's done now. I mean, I'm sure there were parts of your head thinking, oh, well, you know, they might cut us out of this scene or they might cut us out of that. But I can remember when you were able to talk about it, you sent me a link and said, just look at this trailer for a minute. And like, what I did like about the fact that I think you were wearing similar clothes in our last podcast, I was like, oh, he's planting his own Easter eggs in another podcast. This is genius. Yeah. This is genius.
Up there for thinking, downstairs for dancing.
And I loved that. And it was that thing. He was making it more fun and making it more of a reveal. Yeah. But yeah, you are a part of that universe. And yes, crazy. You're passionate for Ghostbusters. You're passionate for that world. But you've also got your own Ghostbusters car. You've got an Ecto-1.
The Ecto.
That in itself is extremely exciting news.
It is. I love it. It is. I think I was saying last time, it's equal parts love, equal parts hate with that car, because doing anything on it is just the hardest thing ever. It's like being given, you know, we were talking about Lego earlier.
Yes.
It's like being given that Lego kit without any instructions.
Oh, don't.
In a tornado whilst balancing on a unicycle and having a river of lava come down the hill.
What a great way of putting it, but I can feel that. I'm already feeling the anxiety trying to put it together. And it's a car, not just Lego. It's a full-on car.
This is it. It's the full-on thing. And I mean, I'm not a mechanic by any stretch of the imagination, but it's something that I always, always, always wanted to do. And the car itself is so iconic. It's, you know, we were chatting about this last time, weren't we? We were talking about our top five movie cars.
Yes.
And I love that. I love that.
What were your ones again? Can you remember?
I think they were, because I couldn't choose
Ecto-1. I like that. No. I was quite mean, but I like that.
Yes, you were, Luke.
So you had Knight Rider.
Knight Rider, mm-hmm. Dukes of Hazzard.
Yep.
The DeLorean.
The DeLorean.
What else was it? It could have been the Starsky and Hutch Torino.
Yes, and I think we talked about wasn't Smoking the Bandit, I don't think, but it was something. Like, they were all classic cars,
something
and I think
along those lines.
For me, just to wind you up, I think I did include.
You did include the Ecto one,
the
absolutely.
DeLorean.
That was your caveat. Yep.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
That's right.
The A-Team van was one of my ones as well, just because it's easy to take your friends out for burgers and stuff. But yeah,
so good
but
for that.
One of those iconic cars where you think that is the car that I know from my childhood, from the movies, from this entertainment, and now you've got one.
And it's crazy because you're out and about driving in it, and we took it to the Cineworld in Poole.
Yes, I saw it with the cell phone boys. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. For the opening weekend. And I wasn't expecting the amount of people down as I was, you know, because you kind of think, oh yeah, you know, you'll have a few of the dads out going, oh come on, let's go and have a look at it, you know.
Come on.
Oh yeah, you know, dragging their children along. Oh God, Dad. The amount of people that were there for us to arrive, I was like, "Craggy, mate, you know, there's like a lot of people here," and so I had to do my best reversing skills. Now, reversing a 22-foot-long car, it's not easy.
Yeah,
so I did it very slowly.
Well done. Yeah. But you haven't got any of like the mod cons with this car, so you haven't got like reverse cameras, you haven't got a dash cam, you don't know what's going on. It is just you and the car. You have to become one.
you just wait for the screams going, please, you're on my foot, get off.
That'll do it. But yeah. It's an iconic car. You brought it to life. It's come from America to you.
Yep.
You keep it in a barn, like in the film. It's
absolutely
so accurate. And it is coming to Portsmouth Comic Con, and I cannot wait to not only see it, I want to get up and close and take as many photographs as I can. I want to see people see it. I loved watching people react to seeing the Batmobile there last year. I love people just coming along and seeing a DeLorean and seeing the cars from Jurassic Park. And it's that moment of thinking, I've seen it in the film, and I'm seeing it now in real life. That's what experiences for me are all about. And that's why people turned up to see you when you're at Cineworld. It's the fact that it's an experience. It's something away from our phones, away from screens. It's a moment that we can relate to, and it's exciting. Yes. And you're bringing it along to show off, and you're going to have a crazy time at this event. With other cosplayers that are going to be down there, but you and this car combined, it's just a dream matchup because... You're going to, as I said before, you're going to need lots of water. You're going to be talking all weekend. You will need to print off like frequently asked questions because you're going to get some mad ones. But knowing you, you will have those answers to those niche questions.
Right? Well, I hope so.
You're a man that's got knowledge, and I love that.
I've also been asked by Kurt to do something in Speaker's Corner as well.
Speaker's Corner, yes. I'm looking forward to this. Speaker's Corner is a big part of Portsmouth Comic Con, where it's people coming along as cosplayers or vendors or the guests. I think I'm speaking on the Saturday about blogging and podcasting. But it's the fact that so many people there have got a story to tell, whether it's about a cosplayer, whether it's a celebrity, whether it's somebody that's been in a bloody Ghostbusters film and has got a Ghostbusters car. And I'm sure the guys from Express FM are going to want to speak to you as well. So you're going to be a busy man. That's why I said you're going to need like cough sweets and water. But Speaker's Corner is going to be good because you're going to be able to share some fun stories there.
I can't look forward to that. That's good.
It's a very passionate event that everyone knows is close to my heart. It's in my hometown. It's what a family Comic-Con experience is supposed to be like. You won't break the bank. You'll have a fantastic weekend and you will be hungry for more. That's why I'm so happy that it's going to be like your first big con attending.
Yeah.
Because a lot of time, Portsmouth Comic Con, it's people's first ever con. And they go to this event and they have a fantastic time. And it shows them what no con around the country is the same. Some of the bigger ones are quite similar. There are the same sort of methods and the same sort of cues and the same sort of events. But it's the small town events that are getting bigger and bigger that are making a dent in the market. And it's exciting to see. And when you've got people like you coming along to share in that moment, it's going to be a fun weekend.
I think when it's done right, like, you know, I've had a look back at the previous bits and bobs that Portsmouth Comic Con have done, and it looks just amazing. You know, you can just tell the vibe from you know what they put up, and you know the socials and things, and it looks great. They create a real buzz about it, and I think it really sets itself out from the crowd of those other kind of town comic cons, because I remember going to the Bournemouth Comic Con a while back, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you last time, but it was just so disappointing, you know, and it almost like some cons, they do it just purely for the money, you know, it's a business at the end of the day. I get that. But the feeling that you get with Portsmouth is that it's, you know, yes, okay, it's a business on one hand, but it's also being done by people who really genuinely love doing this stuff.
And that is it. And I mean, the fact that I've become friends with Nick and Kurt, who are two heroes that work behind the scenes of Portsmouth the Comic Con.
Yeah.
And I try to speak to them at the con, normally at the beginning and at the end, and when they're not incredibly busy, because you'll see them and then you'll see them put their headsets on, and that's when they mean business. They just switch on and they're on work mode, and they're there fixing problems. They're making sure that people get to where they need to be at the right time. And then it's fun to speak with them before when they're all excited and they're all braised up. Then at the end of the con, when they're drained, they're like beaten. It's like the end scene of like a movie. But you normally get one of the guys at the end of the weekend announcing the dates for the next year, sort of say, oh, and don't forget, we're back this time next year. It's always a fun moment. But those two guys have been there from the beginning. And I'm pretty sure that other cons are watching what Portsmouth do, because there seems to be quite a few similarities with other city cons. But it's going to be a good weekend, and I can't wait for you to come down for it. I will try to be a good ambassador for the city. And again, you're going to have the Ghostbusters, the South End Ghostbusters down there as well. Yep. So there's
I'm going to be staying up there now.
Okay. Even better.
So yeah, absolutely. So I think we're going to be, drive up on the Saturday morning early doors.
Yes.
So
good man.
We get there and park. And then I think we just decided, you know what, we'll just get a hotel.
Yeah.
And, you know, just see the bright lights of Portsmouth.
I'll do my best to make sure that we've got some money on the electric and the lights are on. But
if you would, that'd be great.
Yeah, but that's what I loved. I get there early. I'm there to interview people. I've got a schedule of things that I need to do and the things that I want to do for myself. But last year I got there super early because they did have the 89 Batmobile. And I turned up as that was coming off the trailer, and it was just exciting to see it and hear it. Mm-hmm. But I want to be there this year to see you rock up and hear that Ecto-1 come round the corner. It's a pretty closed street where you'll be coming in, so there's lots of room for you to maneuver. But I'm just excited to see it and probably smell this car in person. I'm sure there's like a distinctive smell this car smells like.
Do you know what? I'm taking it you've seen the new film.
I have, sir. Yes.
Okay, good. There's a bit at the start where they're driving down the street, a Manhattan street.
Yes.
And they're in Ecto-1, and you got Paul Rudd driving along, and he looks at the temperature gauge in the Ecto, and it's all the way up.
Coming off the charts.
At the top. And he goes, oh, that's not good like that. And I absolutely peed myself at that bit, because that is a 1963-59 Cadillac. That is exactly what they do. You're driving them, 1 minute everything's absolutely fine, driving along, no difference, and then the next minute the temperature gauge will just go like that. And you're going, ah, oh, God, what do we do? Do we pull over? Do we go faster? Let's go faster. You know?
Yeah, get there quicker.
And it's hilarious, because it is exactly that.
So screen accurate. I love that. But that's not going to happen this time. You're going to get to us safely and soundly. If not, I mentioned this before, I will help you push that car to the event. Push. If not, you're going to bring it here. We're going to fill that tank up. We're going to drive around Portsmouth. Once the con's finished, we can just drive it around Portsmouth all night.
I think so.
It'll be fine. Yeah. But it's going to be a great weekend, the 11th and 12th of May. I'm really looking forward to you coming down and experiencing that. And again, to see people witness a moment like that, and sort of kids and adults alike recognizing such an iconic car and getting to grips with it. And it's going to be, you're going to be busy. I love the fact that you're going to be there as well and just sitting around.
I can't wait. That was one of the things when, you know, we went and did the opening for the new film. The amount of kids who came up in full Ghostbusters gear, who were there and things. And I'm going, oh, cool. You know, do you you're a big fan of Ghostbusters. Oh, yeah, I love them. I've watched it like a million times. And you're going, wow, this is so cool. And it's passing it on to that next generation, isn't it? Who are getting into it.
And that is it. And passing the torch.
And it was what was really nice for me was, as a six or seven year old, I remember going to Tower Park, which is where the cinema was, and going to the Burger King there, because Ghostbusters 2 had just come out.
Yeah.
And they had an Ecto-1 replica there. Now it was a
bit different.
It was a late 80s Citroen white estate car.
Not one of those ones that used to go up and down, was it? Like
the old hydraulic suspension.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And they just bolted all manner of junk on the roof of it. And, you know, yellow lights and yeah. a bad No Ghost logo on the side. And but as a six-year-old me,
yeah,
as a six-year-old
it.
Me,
yeah.
I was just like, this is the coolest day in the world. And what was really nice was that I was almost, you know, like 35 years later, doing that same thing at the same place with
there
an Ecto.
You go.
And it was like, this is nice.
That's what I like to put things up, the fact that there is a sort of tapestry that, that happens with these moments in our lives where we don't know where it's going to start or finish, but there's parts in the middle and all these little bits of thread, they intertwine and they're all connected to either one pinnacle moment when you're watching the film or I'm watching that first episode of Smallville. But they can all spread off and just make these wonderful, wonderful situations that stick with us. And I love that. Oh, I'm excited now. I mean, it's literally, it is the 12th of April today. In a month's time, it will be the second day of the con. It will be all over by now. And we would have shared a drink. We would have raised our toasts at the success of Ports of Comic-Con. And it was going to be
absolutely fun. I can't wait.
It's going to be great. I'm excited.
It's so, so good. I've even got a new bench seat in the front of the car. Well, I say a new one. We've had it all repaired and reupholstered and all the rest. So it's screen accurate now to how it was in the film. So you're going to have to come and try that out.
No, but, whatever you need of me, I'm going to be there. It's going to be hard to get me away from you and that car.
But, excellent.
Now, we mentioned before the show, I've got some questions for you. A few trivia questions, which shouldn't be too difficult for you, but there's there might be a few stinkers in there. Let's begin. Where was it? I go to my notes here. I'm so well prepared. So some of them are quite niche and quite hard. On what floor did the Ghostbusters find Slimer? So that's quite difficult. That's quite...
12th floor? Was it 13th floor?
No, always go with your gut. It was floor 12. I doubted you. I shouldn't have doubted you. I apologize. What is the number plate on the Ghostbusters car?
Ecto-1.
See, you doubted yourself then. You're like, hang on, this might be too easy.
Which one are you talking about?
Now, nah, because... this is when you get those little nerdy facts. Actually, if we go by the comics...
you have Ecto-1, don't you? And then you have Ecto-1A.
Mm-hmm. There are variants.
Briefly, Ecto-2 in the film. Yeah, in Ghostbusters 2, there's a very, very quick scene where it's got Ecto-2 on. I'm sure it's Ecto-2. I can't remember. And then, anyway, so you'd be at Ecto-1.
Okay. This was quite... I didn't know... So I tried getting some of these myself, but I couldn't. But what is the name of the first ghost that the girls encounter? This was in the Ghostbusters, the third film. It's a fantastic name.
The first ghost. It's in the museum, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
It's in the museum, and it's a lady.
Oh.
No, I don't know. I can see it.
Gertrude Aldridge.
That's it.
Gertrude Aldridge
Mansion.
There you go.
Okay. Yep.
What was the name of the librarian? Now this was the first name of the person that played this character as well.
Yeah. And I do know this. I wish I'm not doing myself any favors.
You're doing well. These are kind of quite tricky.
Eleanor Gray.
I've just got Alice here.
Alice.
Is that it?
Alice.
We could be wrong. It could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But I'll tell you what.
This is terrible. This is terrible.
So these are because of quite tricky questions. What must you never do with the proton pack?
We'll give it to children, for starters.
I'll take that.
Now, but you also must never cross the streams.
There you go. Now, in the, it would have been the very late 70s, I think, even before the first Ghostbusters film,
yep,
Bill Murray appeared on Saturday Night Live in a fantastic sketch about superheroes. Who did Bill Murray play? Which superhero did he transform into?
Was it Superman?
There we go, sir. There we go. And there's the link of the tapestry that I adore, is that there's a link between those two characters.
It's woven. It's woven.
It's like how it works. That is how it works.
I love it.
There, see, it's all relative. It all comes together in the end. But yes, this is what it's all about. It's fans coming together and learning more about the things that give them joy, what they're passionate about. And as I said, it's going to be so difficult for me not to want to interact with you at this weekend, but I want to see you in your element, talking about Ghostbusters, talking about this car, going to Speaker's Corner and talking about your time on this film and how it has impacted your life. Because it's wonderful to see.
It is bonkers. It is bonkers. And I mean, one of the things for me with the film, which I just think was just a real key moment. I mean, there was loads of key moments, but one of the things that's on, caught on film, as it were, is they said to us, because we're all positioned right outside the firehouse, and they all made sure that they basically picked us up and put us right front and center so we could all be seen. And I was, if you look at the, I was basically there, right by the door. Oof. And they said, okay, so the actors are going to come out, just act naturally. You know, just act, you know, the world's been saved. You know, you guys are really happy. And I was like, well, happy. That's, I'm going to try. And they
just compose my, let me just compose and get into the moment.
Yeah, let me just channel my inner happiness. And they all come out. And Paul Rudd is kind of, you know, doing classic Paul Rudd kind of, a bit sort of dazed and confused, and he kind of wanders over to me, and I just hold my hand up for like a high five and go, Ghostbusters, all right, like that. And he high fives me, and we did the take, and they went, great, fantastic, okay, that was brilliant, we're going to do a few more of them, whatever you've done now, do that same thing again, just more energy. And I was like, I'll high five Paul Rudd again. Okay, I'm cool with that. So we then spent 20 times me high fiving Paul Rudd, just going Ghostbusters. All right,
there's you at the end. I think just one more take, maybe. I could put a bit more.
I can put a bit more
mood into that.
Yeah,
let's try it from some different angles. Let's go for a tight close up. Let's just go.
You know, like high ten.
Yes,
and it was just I mean, there's so many moments, and I could be here for another 2 hours, I'm sure, chewing your ear off about
this is what I enjoy. So,
and that, you know,
that's why I'm going to be at the con this year. I will be doing as I normally do, or going around interviewing people. So I will be there with my handy dictaphone. We will be sharing some more stories and sharing some more laughs at the event. And as I keep saying, I'm really looking forward to watching you interact with the fans, with the organizers, enjoying the moment. And it's gonna be fantastic.
It's gonna be great. And you know, me and the guys, I know I've chatted to Southend on Sea guys, they're absolutely pumped about it. My partner in crime, Mark, who's going to be coming up with me in the Ecto, he's, you know, really excited about it. And I just can't wait. It's going to be just so much fun. It's going to be a weekend of, you know, just have an absolute blast and meeting like-minded people and just sharing almost war stories, as it were.
That
and
is
just
it.
You know,
because you're going to be just I keep saying it, but you're going to be speaking with the fans of the show. You're going to be speaking with people that are fans of cars. You're going to be speaking with mechanics that want to know the ins and outs of it. And you're not just a fan there standing next to a car that you've bought, that somebody else has constructed. You will know the answers to these questions because you not only love the franchise, you love the car and you've built the car. So you're going to have the answers, which is going to be exciting. And if people want to know more about this, they can look at this for a segue. They can follow you online, sir. And where can people find you and the adventures of your Ecto-1?
So we do stuff on Instagram, which is always good, and Facebook. Those are our two mainstays, as it were. Ecto-1GB is what we go out as. And we've also got a website that's almost being done. So that's very exciting.
But yes, do follow Ecto-1. Do follow Austin. It's a fantastic page. It's positive. It's fun. It's interesting. And I think everybody has been educated during this podcast just to how wonderfully passionate and entertaining you are. And it's why you and this car and this franchise work so well together. So Austin, thank you again so much for being another fantastic guest. You're going to be on the show again in the future. I can tell still so much more we need to talk about.
There is, I know. Every time I look at it, I think, oh my God, we've been talking for like an hour and I haven't told, I haven't said half the stuff that I was thinking to myself earlier on today whilst I'm building this climbing frame outside, going, I must remember to speak to Luke about this. Oh, I need to, talk to him about this. And it's like, time's up. And I'm going, I haven't done half that stuff.
I've done the same thing. I had notes. I have a book because I will set myself a reminder for you to share this particular story at the Comic-Con when I'm doing a live podcast. Well, a live recording of podcast about the story about the business cards.
Yeah,
so that's a good story that I really wanted you to share on this one. But me being a tease, we will leave that for another show because it's a fantastic story. And it's one that just brings you closer to this world that is Ghostbusters. So, Austin.
And I'm going to bring you one of those business cards up.
That's it. You're getting stickers. I've already got an envelope of stickers and merch waiting for you because it needs to be on and around you.
I'm doing the same. I'm collecting a small bag of stuff for you. So this is good. We like this.
This is, and again, we do this at cons where we meet up with friends and people that we don't always see because we're from all different parts of the country. But this is what Comic-Con should be about. It's about the community. It's about friendships. It's about meeting new and old friends. So yes, it's only a month away, but I'm excited.
How exciting.
Austin, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a joy as always. And I will see you soon at Ports of Comic-Con.
I'll catch you soon. Cheers,
buddy. Take care, buddy.